Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in. Good morning, Kingdom family. Welcome to Christmas at the Movies. How about the Grinch last week, eh? You like the Grinch? Yay! I couldn't get in one of those elf costumes. I tried. The buttons popped on. I did find me a hat, so I can wear a hat. So I'm going to wear my hat. My buddy elfed the hat. So there you go. That's my hat. Now, the problem with this is I don't really look like an elf. I look more like one of those guard gnomes that they stick in, you know, travel velocity. That's what I look like. But I'll go with it because, hey, we're in the Christmas spirit. We're having fun this morning, right? We're learning from Buddy the Elf this morning, and we're exploring the teachings of Jesus. We will reflect on the buddies in our life today, but we're also going to unpack the movie Elf and God's Word. Amen? But before we do, as Buddy the Elf would say, and I quote Buddy the Elf right now, so hang with me. Here it goes. You ready? First, we'll have to make snow angels for 2 hours. Then we're going to go ice skating, then eat a whole roll of Toll House cookie dough as fast as we can, and then we'll snuggle. Amen? I don't know about all that. A whole roll of Toll House cookie dough might wipe you out, but it's powerful. But let's pray for our time together, all right? Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you that we can have fun and we can look at some of our favorite movies of the holidays. And some of them maybe seem secular, some of them may be very religious, but we know in all things that if we look at them with spiritual lenses, we can see your hand and your sovereignty over the hearts moving inside these classic productions, but also in your word. As we bring the two together today, Lord, we bring the word of God, and we bring some of our favorite movies together. Lord, we just pray that your sovereignty, your hand, your spirit will be with us. Help us to extract what we need to take out of this movie today and bring it to life in our own hearts, in our own ways, in accordance with scripture and with your word. We pray this boldly in your son's name. Amen. How many of you have seen the movie Elf? Show of hands. Hey, all right. How many own the movie? We got a few that own it. Bert even owns it. Awesome. How many is it a family tradition to watch Elf throughout the year, every year? Look at here. We got some winners. Winners, winners, chicken dinners. Elf's a great movie. It's one of my favorite classic movies of all time. And listen to this quote by Will Ferrell that Will gives regarding the movie Elf. And this is Will talking just about his role in it. And I quote... Actually, it's on the screen. I think I got it on the screen, too. You can see it. There it is. Elf has become the biggest holiday movie, or a big holiday movie. And I remember running around the streets of New York in tights saying, this could be the last movie I ever make. And I could have never ever predicted that it would become such a popular film, end quote. And that's Will Ferrell. I mean, just an amazing, amazing actor, one that we've watched in a lot of movies, Saturday Night Live. But what a classic hit. But why is it that we like this movie so much? I mean, that's the question. Is it because of the cast? Because it's got some amazing people in this. Bob Newhart is one of them. Ed Asner, the late Ed Asner, is in it. Khan's in it, James Caan. I mean, just so many popular actors that you fell in love with are in this cheesy comedy. And is it because it's a cheesy comedy? Or could it be that we know some real buddies in our life? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we know some buddies in our circles, maybe even inside our own family unit, maybe even our own kids or people that were really dear friends of ours. But even if we're really honest and really transparent, we all have a little buddy in each of us. All right? Amen? And that's really the truth. So that's what I really want to bring home today as we unpack this movie. Buddy suffers from the same delusion I believe all people suffer from. Regardless of who you are, at varying degrees, everybody suffers from this delusion. And I call it, if you have your lesson plan, this would be the first bullet point, the delusion of inequality. That's what I call it. That's what I tag it. The delusion of inequality. And delusion drives the world system, especially in the Western culture. It just drives it. And at the core of this delusion is this hole in our soul that says that I'm not enough. And I must become what the culture says I am to be. And if I don't, well, then I'm a loser, or maybe even as far as I'm an abysmal failure. I just haven't measured up to what the world says I should be. So Buddy in this movie suffers from this delusion of inequality big time in a very literal way. And we'll see it play out in some of the scenes we're going to watch here in a second. But this delusion is powerful, friends, and it affects everybody at some level. And we're going to unpack this as we relate it into the gospel or to the Word of God, but also into Buddy. So we're going to watch this first scene. And this first scene really lays the stage for the entire movie and shows how this delusion plays out. This is just, the whole movie plays this out, but this is just one scene, so let's check it out. If we're honest with ourselves, we all, you know, fall into that, you know. We all feel like Buddy at some point in our life, and we all like to be treated special at some level. And for those who really suffer from low self-esteem, seriously, friends, those who really suffer from low self-esteem, being treated special only makes you feel ordinary. It doesn't make you feel special at all. And so never lose sight of that. This is one of the dilemmas, this next bullet point you see there, that humans judge by what they see, yet God looks at the heart. If we're going to be like God, then we need to try to live into that. This first scripture that we're going to look at today is 1 Samuel 16:7. Really important scripture. Great one to memorize. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Have no regard for his appearance or stature, because I haven't selected him." God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans see only what is visible to them, our eyes. But the Lord sees into their heart. Amen? You hear me speak of these four things before, and you'll always hear me speak of them because they're the realities of life. You could call them the seasons of life, the cycle of life, the circle of life. I just call them the big four pillars of life. And the four pillars, if we live long enough, we're going to experience all four. And the first one, birth, you know, fate determines that. We can't determine our birth. We can't determine where we're born, what zip code, who our parents are, what resources we have, what genes we have, what talents, gifts, or any of that. We don't have any say-so in that whatsoever. We're given whatever we're given. That is just how life works. And Buddy experiences the same thing. He discovers this crazy story of how he ends up in the North Pole as an elf. And it takes him a while to figure out he's not an elf, even though he's giant compared to the rest of them. It's kind of like John walking around to the rest of us, you know. And he was just out of place. And he's finally revealed to him that he's not an elf, that he's adopted. And that his parents, Walter Hobbs and Susan Hobbs, were his real parents from the East Coast in New York. So what a shock to Billy to discover the truth about his family. That he wasn't really a part of what he wasn't measuring up anyway. He could figure it out for himself. He felt like a square peg in a round hole the whole time. But he gets super excited about the possibilities now that he's discovered, I got this human dad and family out there and what venture that's going to bring. But unfortunately, he gets some heavy news from Santa. That when he lays this on him, he also has to tell him about where he came from and who his dad really is. So we're going to watch this next scene. And check that out. He's on the naughty list. So you can see this delusion playing out in Buddy's life. You could easily call it the Buddy syndrome. And we all suffer from a little Buddy syndrome. But many of you listen, and I don't know all your stories intimately. I've known some of you. I'm getting to know some of you more and more all the time. And we have more time to be together. And the walls come down and you share more and more of your life and where you came from. But some of you come from really challenging upbringings, myself included. And I grew up with no father in my life. I didn't have a Walter Hobbs in my life whatsoever. I didn't have any grandparents. I had siblings, but I wouldn't even connect with them till later in life. It was just me and my mom. And why? Because of alcoholism tore through our house, tore through our family. And it broke it down in a big, big way. And it caused a lot of havoc, and it wreaked a lot of havoc, and it broke a lot of hearts, and it burned a lot of bridges. And my mother was a very broken person with all that, unfortunately. And her first marriage here in St. Louis, she had a son and two daughters, and that alcoholism and the insanity and the abuse and all the chaos and all the drama was enough for her finally to leave. I mean, she just couldn't take it anymore, and she left. And for 10 years, my mom was gone. Nobody knew where she was at, where she was still alive, or... And she resurfaced on the western side of Missouri, and she ended up in a state mental hospital in Nevada, Missouri, a hospital that's still very functional today. And she was there for a good while before she got good enough, well enough to get out. And And she got out, and unfortunately she met another guy who was just like her last husband, happened to be my father, another alcoholic. And she got hooked up with that. I came out of that marriage, and somewhere between the age of 2 and 3 is when my mom just had enough of it. She was just done. And she ran him off, and she turned her will and life over to the care of God. No family in her life. Her parents died real young. No grandparents, nothing. It was just my mom. But she trusted in God. She turned her will and life over to the care of God, and she never wavered. She never looked back. And she went on to live an amazing life. So the possibilities are there. But and she was able to, over time, reconcile with these kids here in St. Louis. And eventually we moved back to St. Louis when I was somewhere right around 8 or 9 years old. And that healing process took place. And over the course of a lot of years, it's been an amazing ride. My mom died in 2015, the greatest winter of my life. But our family's still together. We'll be together next Sunday for Christmas to get together. And, you know, all that family that was torn apart, we're all together today. And a lot of it is because of the lead my mother took in her life. And so if you're caught in that trap somewhere, you fall into that space where you feel like it's hopeless or your family's hopeless or you don't care if you ever see him again. If you're a Jesus-centered person, you know, you're really called to try to bring a healing dynamic. And it may seem impossible. It wouldn't be you doing it anyway. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes that possible. But you try. You don't want to talk prudence while practicing evasion. You don't want to balk because of fear. You take the lead and you try your best to create a space where things can happen. You know, and it's not the only story. My bride Susie's here. Susie, you know, was adopted. Her brother was adopted. She knows her real mother. I've met her real mother, her biological mother. But her mom, who ultimately is her mom and dad, her dad passed away. I never got a chance to meet him, but her mom is amazing. You know, she's one of the rocks in our family, and we were just with her on Friday night before the storms happened. But Susie would tell you in a second that she's very blessed to have that situation and have the life that she has today. So we can't control our birth. We can't control our circumstances. Faith determines that. But as we grow and mature, we can sure heal and grow. And so this is next point in your bulletin right there, or bullet on your lesson plan. It's never too late to try and reconcile and help create a new culture in your family, a culture built on forgiveness, repentance, love, and service. It's called the Christmas spirit. That's what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. Why did God come? To save us from ourselves, to save us from the power of sin, to give us a life not just in eternity, but here on earth as well. Amen? And so, but it's through that Christmas spirit of Jesus living in us that this healing, there's healing possibilities. Even in the most broken of circumstances, there's a chance to bring something pretty powerful. My sister, many years ago, I was sitting at a kitchen table with her house in Fenton, and we were just talking about our family, some of the dysfunction and the brokenness and the healing and all that. And she shared this with me. It's not written down anywhere. I captured it in my journal after I left her house because it stuck with me. This is her quote. This is what she shared with me. She said, "The definition of a dysfunctional family is when the last adult quits trying to make a difference." End quote. And that's my sister, Cynthia Haston. She's the leader, spiritual leader in our house today. She's, you know, 70 years old, but she's, you can ask Susie, she's just a gem. She's a sweetheart. She's followed God her whole life for the most part. And she's very devoted to following God and being like Jesus. And she's amazing. And I'm a better person every time I'm around my sister. But she carried that torch. It's like she just took the torch from my mother and she's carried it forward in our family. And it's a beautiful thing. We'll be with them all next Sunday. And so it's possible. The impossible becomes possible when it's Jesus is involved in it, right? May we never forget that. Some of you just got amazing lives, but I can promise you there's so many people that don't. That need to know the Christmas spirit, need to know the story. And may we get it. And this is what Buddy says. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Amen? And that's what we need to do. We need to shout it out. What Jesus has done in your life. That's the story. It's God's story. And you're a part of it. The whole thing. This narrative we call the Bible, Scripture, is the Word of God. However you want to frame it, is God's love story. From the beginning to the end, and you're a part of it. You're born on this day, and you're splashed into the story. You're on the scene, in your brokenness, and you're fatally flawed, and you're all jacked up. Then you get saved, and the Holy Spirit starts to work in your life, and then God, through that channel, can do amazing things in your life. And then you're brought out of it into eternity, but you're a part of the story, you and I. And God wants to do amazing things through your life, everybody's life that's part of the kingdom. Here's what God has to say to us in His words. And this is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. As for children, obey your parents in the Lord, because it is right. The commandment, honor your father and mother, is the first one with a promise attached, so that things will go well for you, and you will live for a long time in the land. As for parents, don't provoke your children to anger, but raise them with discipline and instruction about the Lord. This delusion of inequality is with us from birth. And as we mature, we struggle sometimes to have the courage to express our true thoughts and feelings. And this is really true for teenagers or young adults. They struggle to be who they are because they don't feel like they measure up in the world. And so somebody says, hey, why don't you try some of this? And they hand them some drugs. Or they say, drink some of this. And they hand them some booze. Or smoke some of this. Or do this. Or watch this. Or go over here. And you stick your teeth in that. And it for a moment, you get this temporal relief. And it feels pretty good. And for the first time, for a lot of people, because of this delusion of inequality, it's just a deep breath. Like, man, where has this been? And so you want to do it again, and then you do it again, and eventually it becomes a habit, and then eventually if you live in it long enough, you'll cross that invisible line, it'll stick its teeth in you, and the choice of to do it or not do it is gone. And whatever it is you're doing makes that choice for you. You're going to do it regardless if you want to or not. And so we see this play out. And there's many adults who suffer big time from this delusion of inequality. Big time. And they depend on worldly substances to cope with life. Cannot live life on life's terms. I got to have something to drink. Got to have something to smoke. Got to have something to eat. Got to have a pill for this, a pill for that. That's the delusion that we get caught up in, that we can't function without just as we are. That's a delusion in itself because Christ affirms it, that we are enough as who we are. With Christ in us, we are all, we are complete. And we have the chance, as John Wesley would say, to become holy, to be like Christ, to grow in His image. And understanding and effectiveness. And that's what we want to try to do. So we need help. And that's one thing we can take for Buddy, because Buddy didn't lean too hard on outside substances other than candy for dinner. You know, ate a lot of candy with syrup in it. You know, but he had some things that were worldly. But what he learns to do as he reconciled in his own family, and he reconciles with a little brother he didn't even know, Michael, comes into his life, and this love relationship starts to happen between him and his brother. He starts to lean on his little brother for wisdom and advice on how to do things, how to live life, how to cope in life. And also we see it play out in this crush that he has on this young elf at the department store named Jovi. And this is one of Buddy's previous co-workers that he had a crush on. So we're going to see this play out. We'll see the delusion of inequality plaguing Buddy, but we'll also see how he leans on wise counsel to get through it. Let's check it out. So he gets through it. And we can too. That's the beautiful part of it. We don't need worldly things to cope with life, although the world tells us we do. Every commercial, everything we see on TV tells us we're not enough. And we need a little bit of this and a little bit of that to really be somebody, to experience life to the fullest. It's a big delusion, but it's easy to buy into. Let's hear what God's word's got to say here. And this is Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus Christ. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus on your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace be with you. And so we can do anything, but we can also still enjoy these aha puppy love moments. And a great question to reflect on is, do you find time to still enjoy life and behave like you're still young without the dependence of worldly substance, but instead depending on the Holy Spirit to be spiritually motivated but also spiritually intoxicated? It's a much better form of intoxication than what the world offers. And if you don't, you should. You may age physically, but the Christmas spirit can remain in you forever and keep you young. And I know many of you are seniors, and I watch how you live your life, and you're happy, and you're joyous, and you're free. And some of you just don't care anymore. You know, you just live long enough, you just don't care what other people think. And even when you're old, you can get away with it. You know, you can go down to the fountain by the arch and be naked, and they come and arrest you. You're like, I don't know where I'm at. Okay, they just take you home. You can get away with stuff that you can't do with my age. Or they take you to jail and lock you up. But you can have fun and have the Christmas spirit. And it's beautiful. It truly is beautiful to watch people, and especially as they mature in life, as they age, that even though they have limitations physically, they can still have the Christmas spirit, and they can still bless people and have fun. And that's what we're called to do. So let's check out this final clip. And in this scene, we're going to see how love rules at the end of the day, because that's really what it's all about. I mean, that's what Jesus is all about. We say God is love, and it's ultimately what it's about. And we see that play out in this movie, that love, regardless of what darkness and what evil still exists in the world, whatever it is, it doesn't have any defense against love. It doesn't have any defense against it. I used to have, or I still do have, a friend of mine, Bill T, in Chicago. And Bill always says this: if nobody's told you they love you today, I do. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, and that's true. I mean, you can love people, and there's just absolutely nothing they can do about it. And so we try to express that. And so we see that play out. The love Buddy experienced from his elf family to his little brother Michael gave Buddy hope, and it helped reconcile his family. And so we see how this reconciliation took place. The love also went on to, you know, heal the heart of Walter Hobbs, his father, who was just somebody driven by power, glory, and prestige, driven by his own self-interest, that he didn't care about his family or anybody else. He just cared about himself. But this love heals his heart. And then, of course, there's the love for Jovi. That's too much for her to resist, as the story goes. There's this part of Buddy that he's so immature and so obnoxious that it drives everybody insane. But at the same time, it's so innocent and it's so real that there's an attraction and there's a peace about it. And it's that Christmas spirit that he prevails. And it's this Christmas spirit that he hangs on to even when people try to knock it out of him. He has this moments where he wavers, but for the most part, he comes back with it and he's full of it. And he goes on to not only save Christmas, but he goes on to help bring reconciliation to a lot of people in this life. And so we're going to see how this plays out here. It's a feel-good movie, right? It really does a lot for us. God's word tells us this in John 15:9-10. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. As we listen to this message today, I hope that we remember Buddy's words, which is the title of our message today. There's room for everyone on the nice list. Everyone. And Buddy's promise comes from God himself. And may we never forget the most significant promise in Scripture, probably. And it's simply one we know well, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. Friends, everybody has a place on the nice list, right? This is really the power of this. And because Jesus gave up his life for everyone, Jesus in return asks us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And he tells us this in 1 John 3:16. And this is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. In the end, Buddy, Michael, Jovi, and Walter sacrificed their own self-interest to keep the Christmas spirit alive. And I hope this Christmas season, as you commit to living a Jesus-centered life, that you can set aside your self-interest and help spread the Christmas cheer. Your efforts will be blessed by everyone. That's a Christmas promise that will always materialize if we work for it this Christmas season. And so I don't know where you're at on your spiritual journey, what's going on with you this season in detail. Some of you, it's going to be the best Christmas ever. And some of you, it's going to be maybe a really blue Christmas. But wherever it's at, you have the ability to carry this Christmas spirit into it and carry a bright light and make it stronger and better for everyone involved. And so I hope we can do that. So I encourage you all to stand, and we're going to pray, and we're going to sing a few more songs as we go out today to bring praise this Christmas season, this Advent season, as we share hope and peace and joy and love to the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do as we live this Jesus-centered life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your message today. We thank you for your love story. And we thank you that we're a part of it, that humanity is a part of it. And we enter this story fatally flawed and broken. But through the power of your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, comes here incarnate, fully human, fully God, to show us what it means to live a Jesus-centered life, to follow Jesus, to know your true character, and that it all centers on love, love and service, that we are called to lay down in our lives, that we are called to die to ourselves, that if we wanted to find our lives, we need to lose it. And Lord, we live in a culture that breeds your own self-interest. And so Lord, we pray today for the Holy Spirit to help us divorce ourselves from the world system, to divorce ourselves from our own self-interest, and to make your interest our only interest. And we know that that's doable, but we know it's not easy. But the Holy Spirit makes it possible. So Lord, we just want to have this Christmas spirit, you know, streaming through our veins, streaming through our voice, streaming through our body language in a bold, brightful, illuminating way this Christmas season, for the rest of this season, this Advent season, as we go out and share our joy and sing joy to the world loud enough to hear so we can spread the Christmas cheer. Lord, that's what you're calling us to do. That's what you're asking of us. We know the buddies in our lives. We know our own buddies. And maybe we have a little bit of buddy in us that's feeling inadequate or out of place today, Lord. So we pray for healing for that. Help us to be resolute about knowing that you are the main thing. You're all that we need. And we can hang on to that. And it'll fulfill us and get us through this life and on to eternity. And Lord, we pray that boldly today. We just want to reach out this Christmas season to the buddies out there. We know who they are. You convict us of it all the time in our hearts. Let us reach out to these buddies in a way that maybe we haven't in Christmas past. To be a healer, to be an agent, to create a space spiritually, Lord, where people, even inside our own family units, have a chance to reconcile, forgive, and experience love unconditionally in a way they haven't maybe in their entire lives. Who knows? But Lord, we pray this. We know this is what you're calling us to do this Christmas season. Help us to do it in a mighty way through the power of your Holy Spirit. And because of your Son, Jesus, it's possible. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching. And we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.